We must look for a Savior in history, according to Bible prophecy. A Jew, we cannot look for somebody new, some new person's coming that will solve it all. Whoever he is, he had to exist on planet Earth before the destruction of the second Jewish temple. And Jesus Christ did. That's why we can be so confident. That's why Peter called it a more sure word of prophecy in 2 Peter 1. That's why Acts 10:43, speaking of the Lord Jesus, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. The prophets give witness to him. You and I, young people, do not place our faith in a fantasy. We just don't leap into the dark and say, I just believe it. You place it in evidence. That Peter calls a more sure word of prophecy, you have God's predictions that have supernaturally come true. That I don't guess that Jesus is real. God predicted that he would match prophecy, and whoever he is, he's had to come before the second Jewish temple. And he had. And that's an effective way to witness. Well, you don't think Jesus is Messiah, but you believe the Bible? Well, the Bible says whoever he is, he's a historical person. Effective way to witness. Now, that is the second thing that had to happen, and it did. What is the third thing? I know you can read. It said there'll be desolations to the end. Concerning Daniel's people and city, destructions, that word desolation, destructions unto the end. It will be continually at war and destroyed. Who knows anything about the history of Israel? Did you know that is exactly what has happened and is happening? I'm looking here to see if I can find a little chart on this. Let me just put this one up here for you. We'll put this one back in a minute. Here's just an abbreviated history of Israel since 70 A.D. Since 50 A.D. 50 A.D., 30,000 Jews were killed by the Romans. 70 A.D., under that destruction, 1 million perished. 97,000 led away captive to all nations. 135, under a false Messiah called Bar Kokhba, Palestine was devastated. 585,000 Jews were killed in Jerusalem. They renamed Judah. They tried to get rid of all Jewish pride and heritage. That's how it got its name, Palestine. They said, we're not even going to call it Judah anymore. We don't want Jews to think Jewish. And it's got the name Palestine to this very day in 135. Much more things happened, but in the 10th century, the Jews were banished from Spain or from England. In the 13th century, 100,000 were put out of France. In the 13th century again, 2,000 were burned on a scaffold in Germany. 14th century, they were banished from Spain. 1945, 5 to 6 million perished in Hitler's gas chambers, the Holocaust. Right now, you have Russia, the PLO, the United Nations, they're anti-Semitic, that means against the Jew. You have pogroms in Russia. You have them fighting over Jerusalem. The greatest Holocaust is ahead of them. Desolations are determined unto the end. The third thing that has to happen in that gap is that Jerusalem continually has to be at war and being destroyed. Has history showed that? You talk about Bible prophecy. You talk about something minute. Not only the Gentile nations, but the Jewish nations. So what we have again... Oh, I didn't know you were talking it. Okay. I'll move it. Yeah? We can make a copy. I'll give you a minute or two to jot down some things if you want it. Yeah, Larry will make one at $2.95 for you. No, he'll be happy to make one, so we'll take it off for now then. I'll hand it to Larry or else I will forget. Does anyone want a copy from Larry? Okay, well there you go. Would anyone like a copy of this thing right here? Would that be helpful? Larry, when I'm done, I'll give this to you also, Larry. I'll give this to you also, Larry, when I'm done. Now, sounded authoritative. Okay. So what we have, young people, in verse 26 is a gap that after Messiah appears, three things happen, and they did happen. And notice it all happened before the 70th week. Now, Daniel didn't know what to do with that gap, but we know exactly what to do with it. What happens in that gap? Grace, the church, the gospel for the Gentiles. This is the great what that he didn't know about. What's that word I asked you to remember? Yeah. Mystery. It was not made known to other ages. You see, it would have been very unfair for God to put that in here, and the Jews said, well, we got a kingdom, but God's going to take it away. No, he didn't want them to know that. He gave them a fair chance. And then he would reveal it. And so this is the great mystery that Paul's talking about. It was hid. Daniel didn't know about it. All he knew is these things were happening. He didn't know Israel would be replaced with the church, which I can't show you the chart, but you know it's up there. With the age of grace. Administration number 6. And in this gap, God is busy making something bigger. Sons before him, huh? In love in Christ. Doing something bigger than Israel. Something that will work. God's great plan from before the foundation of the world, huh? This is the gap, but from Israel's perspective, this is what happened during that gap. But this is the great mystery that we're going to be talking about. But that leaves us right here. There is a missing week, isn't there? Now, what I want you to do is get a picture of this, and I'm going to switch to the chart. Because this is up there on the chart also. I want to go back to the chart. Let's just get a little picture of that. We're going to be talking about this last week here. All right, let me give this to Larry. About how many want copies of this? Now, before I go into that last week and show you it on the chart, what we've covered so far is their comments or questions, and I'll turn around in a minute. Or two. Or three. That'll do for our purposes. Yes.
And that is through the nation of Israel. And should that nation perish, our whole Christian gospel vanishes. So our Christian gospel is going to be the reality of the miracle of that nation, and that one man.
That's right.
The amazing thing to see is that in spite of the millions that have been murdered,
you see, as Henry's saying, if Israel is destroyed, your Bible is wrong. And you've lived to see a nation come back miraculously in the land in 1948. You've seen the evidence of it now. Yes. Why was the reason I had to repeat it? Oh, excuse me, I thought I was, I'm kidding you. Yeah. Anyway, if Israel is wrong, your Bible is alive. And you have lived to see, I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit, that the Jews were scattered, but they're starting to come back like the Bible said. In 1948, they miraculously became a nation, and you see them in the land today. You might have thought they've always been there. For almost 1900 years, it was empty of a Jewish establishment. And it's happened in these last days. This Bible is so true. You can have utmost confidence in it. How can I believe in the God of the gospel if he didn't keep his promises with Israel? But he did. Now remember we were to anybody else before we go on? Yes. It speaks of what? Oh, a flood unto the end. Bible students have struggled with that. Sometimes in the Bible, a flood is looked, an army is pictured coming over a mountain as a flood of people. I tend to lean that it's simply a mass of people. But if it turns out to be, if there's other type of floods, then we'll have to wait and see. I just don't have a full answer on that. Other than I believe it's a mass of people. Anybody else? Okay. Now where we're at right here. You see the 69 weeks right here, the rebuilding of the wall permitted. And then that clock stopped and Messiah was cut off. That brings you to the cross with only 1 7-year period left before the kingdom age comes. The most holy is anointed. Righteousness comes in. Sin is dealt with. He dealt with sin by dying on the cross. You see, people want the kingdom. We want peace and righteousness. God says transgression has to be ended. I got to deal with sin first. I can't have a kingdom full of a bunch of rebels going around doing their own thing. So he died for our sins and rose again so we can have new life. People say, bring in the king. God says, let's get rid of sin first. So Christ was sent to do it in the right way, and he died for our sins and rose again to bring new life. So that's the end of the 69 weeks. Then we have the great, what? Mystery. We have this gap in which certain things will happen with the Jews, and then Paul tells us, the dispensation of the grace of God, that mystery, is made known to me to tell you. And we'll talk more about that later, of a new group of people under a new administration called grace. That mystery comes in. But, focus your eyes over here, if you will. We still have a missing week that concerns not the church, but concerns who? It's Daniel's people in Daniel's city. And that is yet to happen. That is Daniel's 70th week, or the last 70 years. And that is verse 27 of Daniel chapter 9. And so we're skipping the whole dispensation of grace now, for that is in the gap in the Bible, and we're jumping to this last week here, right in here. And I want to take you to Daniel 9:27. Now, verse 26, I'm going to reread 26 so we can get the flow. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come. Now, there's a coming prince here. You see that? A coming prince. It is the people that destroyed the sanctuary, not the prince. But out of those same people, there's a coming ruler. That's what a prince is. So there's a coming prince or a coming ruler here. And that's him in verse 27. You notice how verse 27 starts out, and he? You all had, and he? Who's the he? The prince of the people that destroyed Jerusalem. Who destroyed Jerusalem? Well, Daniel 9 said that would be the last, or remember Daniel 2, that's the last empire when the God of Kings sets up his kingdom? So it is a Roman prince coming from that kingdom, and he's going to do something in verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now we want to get that. There's your last week. And what starts the clock ticking again? What do you think starts that 70th week, that last 7 years ticking again, according to the Bible anyway? Did somebody say the rapture? You're absolutely wrong. But it's a good guess. Yes. Signing of the Antichrist in the nation of Israel. What does it say? And he shall make a covenant. That's what it turns out to be. With many for 1 week. It is a covenant that is signed with Daniel's people. Many of them. And maybe it will involve other people. And so there's a covenant. A covenant is a pledge of promises. Some type of a pledge of promises, a Roman prince, not Jesus Christ, a leader is going to make with Israel and promise them some things. He's going to promise them peace. He's going to promise them that they're going to be able to allow their sacrifice in their temple, which they can't do today, because they don't have one. He's going to promise them everything they want. Yes, Henry. Yeah. Yes.
And that is in verse 26, where we have now what happened in the gap. In other words, after that.
Yes.
Right? And you have this terminology. The people of the prince that shall come.
Yeah.
So it was the people of the prince that shall come. Notice the prince will not get.
He's future. That's right.
The people of that future king were already in existence.
That's right.
The Roman Empire.
That's it. That's exactly right. The people were there, the prince was future, and now we're into the future, yeah, in our teaching. Absolutely, good point. So he, this Roman prince, that his people existed at the time of the destruction of the temple, which was Rome, he's going to make a covenant with many, including Daniel's people. And he's going to promise them some things. Now, whenever he signs that covenant, your last 7 years has started before the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, we haven't talked about the rapture yet. That'll be tonight and tomorrow. Okay? But this is what starts the 7 weeks. Now, look carefully at verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And suddenly, the 7 weeks is divided in half. And so you look on your chart, and you see 3.5 years and 3.5 years, because that's how they are divided. It's divided into two parts. 3.5 and 3.5. And the Bible uses different language to convey that. Now, this man who made a covenant causes the Jewish sacrificial system and their evening worship oblations to stop. If he has to cause them to stop, what had to happen first? They had to start. They had to start. So this man will have something to do with either giving them permission to continue, or maybe he'll be the very one that somehow miraculously gets the temple built and starts. Time will tell which. But he will either allow them to continue against world pressure, or he'll be the very starter of their temple. But whatever that turns out to be, in the middle of it, he double crosses them, he breaks his word, and everything he promised them, he turns on them, reveals his true color, and stops it. Stops it right there. And when he stops it in Israel, guess what he's going to do to the Jew? He's going to persecute them and turn on them and not be their Savior. They'll think he was the Messiah. They'll say, we found him. It wasn't Jesus. We found him. And in 3.5 years, they'll realize the biggest mistake of their history. Keep your hand in Daniel 9. Go to Matthew 24, please. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Look what our Lord Jesus said when he was on earth. This is why the Old Testament is so important and explains the New. Matthew 24, when I get there. And we talked last night about the prophecy of the destruction of the temple and so on. But now I'm going to take you to verse 15. Verse 15. Our Lord Jesus says this, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now he refers right back to Daniel, and he uses an expression we didn't read yet, but will. The abomination of desolation. You know what abomination means? What do you think it means? Huh? I can't hear you. Something that is stinks in the eyes of God. It's horrible. Desolation means to destroy. Then he's going to do something that destroys God's system of worship and do something abominable in the eyes of God. He's going to stop that sacrificing from existing, and the Bible says he's going to stand in the holy place. And instead of saying, worship God, he'll say, worship me. Man will make himself God in the very house of God. When you see, verse 15, Matthew 24, therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now here's what Israel's to do. Then let them be in Judea, flee into the mountain. Let him which is in the housetop come not down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. You better be in a hurry. Why better you get out in a hurry? Why get away fast? Huh? They're going to be destroyed. This, because they won't worship him, he'll destroy them. He hates the Jew. He's been Satan in disguise. Then look what happens. Somebody read verse 21. Then shall be great tribulation. That's why many call this last 3.5 weeks. After he double crosses them and stands in the holy place, we call this period, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble, also the great tribulation. That is a great time of trial and testing for Israel. Look at the next verse. Somebody read verse 22 now. Unless God would shorten those days, nobody would be left. But He will, in mercy, in His program, shorten those days. And so it'll be 3.5 years, as the Bible teaches. It'll be tremendous Holocaust. They'll be persecuted all over the world, and God will preserve them, but that's another story. Now that is Daniel's 70th week. It concerns, once again, notice carefully, back in Matthew 24, verse 26 again, or 16. Somebody reread verse 16, please. In Judea. Not in all the world, not in the church. This is a Jewish prophecy. This is their dispensation, as we will see. It has to do with their dispensation. This is a Jewish prophecy. So we have the missing week here, which is for Daniel's people. It starts out, somebody signs a covenant and promises them sacrifices and peace, and they say, He's our Messiah. Christ says, I'm covering my own name, my Father's name, and you receive me not. He said, you know, there's another coming in His own name, and you're going to do what? Receive Him! And you'll say, we found our Messiah. He'll have no marks of the cross on Him. He won't match biblical prophecy, but He'll come with power. He'll come with promises. He'll come with outer glitz. And they'll follow the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. And you'll be tempted to do that today in different things. Always go back to the Word of God. It doesn't matter how churches look today. It's what the Bible says. You can be filled with your eyes and with power, and they'll be fooled. And in the middle of that week, they'll find out they've been fooled, and then there's 3.5 years left of their greatest Holocaust, and then we'll see that the stone comes. The Lord Jesus Christ comes and delivers them and sets up His kingdom. Now let's quickly reread the final verse of Daniel 9. Daniel chapter 9. I'll take you back to verse 27. And He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for overspreading of abominations, He shall make it desolate. Jesus Christ called this the what? The abomination of desolation. He destroys something. He does something abominable. Even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And destruction will happen upon the desolate until the end on God's timetable. So this is known as the abomination of desolation. So, young brothers and sisters, what we have learned is God's prophetic timetable in Daniel chapter 9. We have learned that as far as the times of the Gentiles is concerned, that God will, for 483 years, let things go as they are, so to speak, other than the wall being rebuilt, until Messiah comes. And a total of 490 years, God will solve it all with the everlasting righteous and the most holy being anointed. But He will stop the clock, and Messiah will be cut off, but not for Himself. And Jerusalem and the Jews will be scattered and so on, and that has happened. And then He won't forget His promises. That final week will start with a false Messiah. He'll double-cross them. They'll go into Holocaust, and the Lord Jesus Christ, other scriptures tell us, will return. But it's the information in that gap now that in our next sessions we want to concern ourselves with. It is the dispensation that Paul called of grace. It is the mystery which was hid from other ages. It is something that they never dreamed of. It is the greatest thing on earth, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we will be beginning in this section right here, in this mystery age, and then we'll have a few more things to say on this in our future lesson. Now before we do, is there any comments or questions? Yes, Brother Steve. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. The order. Yep. That's it. That's right. Steve is saying there's a lot of prophetic fancies out there, fanciful thinking. God's order, Daniel 9, will save you from misinterpretation. I'll be with you in a minute, Henry, but I saw you had your hand up. Yeah. Oh. The question is it technically wrong to call that last week, the missing week, the tribulation? Technically, it's not scriptural, okay? We do it because the whole thing is a time of testing. That's what tribulation means. But the technical language is Daniel's 70th week, with the last half being the Great Tribulation. Sometimes we coin the whole 7 years of tribulation. That's come to mean there's testing going the whole time, but the last part is the horrible part. But scripturally, it will never call those 7 years the tribulation. It calls them Daniel's 70th week, with the last half being the Great Tribulation. So if you want to be very scriptural, those are the terms. Okay? Yes, Silvio. About blood. Blood, yes. Yes. Is water sometimes referred to as an evil aspect? I'm thinking, can you help me, Larry?
The enemies are coming like blood.
Oh, okay. You're quoting from the Psalms there? Is that, where's that at?
Isaiah.
There's a good verse. The Lord shall lift up a standard. The enemy comes as a flood. And that's why I lean that it's speaking of armies. But your question was, is it ever spoken of as evil water? And other than the flood that destroyed the world, I'm pressed to think of an example, but I'm appealing for help, Ernie.
What often refers to judgment when he said in from the flood?
Yeah. Yes. Do you have any thoughts, Silvio?
No.
Well, I see. There is a final destruction that we've been talking about, or a greater destruction. But in that gap, there has been, as we showed on that little chart, many desolations. And that is the desolations that is immediately referred to in chapter 26. But notice verse 26. But they go unto the end. And that end will be these greater ones we're talking about. I really believe it's the enemy like a flood. Larry? And then him? Yeah. The flood of, and it's one long war unto the end, desolation. Jerusalem is one big war. Okay. Now we have Henry, then we have Fredo, and then, if I missed a hand, Henry? Oh, yeah, I promised Henry and I'll get to Conrad.
Yeah, I want to go back again to Ephraim.
Yeah.
Regarding attack on this interpretation of scripture.
Yeah.
So we've got to be settled in our minds as to the veracity and factuality of this interpretation of the Word of God. And
literal interpretation.
Literal, and that's what I'm bringing up. Not only is it the order that we're talking about, but the issue here is a literal interpretation of Scripture.
Yep.
Now, if we were to say, or in any way consider, that when Cyrus came in, and destroyed the city of Solon in 70 A.D. That was a fulfillment of the, then we wanted to come problems. Basically, the problem is this. Number one, we established that the weeks are years. So that what happened since, we've got another 1,500 years that you can't be accounted for. The reason that I'm bringing that up is because of verse 24 in Daniel chapter 9. You look at verse 24, it says clearly, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now what? Until what? Until transgression is put to an end. You look at the world all around you, it's still full of transgression.
Yep. Israel.
You look at the world all around you. Sin abounds everywhere. There's no end to this. To make reconciliation for iniquity. To bring in everlasting life. I'll tell you, this is not a righteous world that we're in.
Nope.
In other words, we've got to get to the bottom line that this must be interpreted literally. And that at the end of the 7 weeks, just like the first division when Randy said those first 7 weeks had to do with a literal reconstruction of the city, which led to a literal reconstruction of the temple. So, the end of these 70 weeks are these 490 years of history that specifically relate only to the nation of Israel must bring in a literal end of sin, end of iniquity, and an establishment of a literal and eternal everlasting
kingdom. Amen. And absolutely. He meant when he said that General Titus, he meant that some interpret it as the end of the 70. It's only the end of the, it's after the 69.
It's the gap. In other words, if yeah. Paul
yeah. Brother brought out, it's easy because we have 98% of it fulfilled, and it's all been literal, and you can check it out. So the code has been given to us. Brother Conrad. Go ahead, two questions. Yes, Conrad's question is he correct in saying in the end times there will be a political and spiritual leader. We'll get that from further light in Revelation 13. The political leader will be known as the beast, here the Roman prince. The spiritual leader will be known as the false prophet.
Okay, and my question was, is he
the political leader. He's signing the cup, I believe, the political leader, I believe. But they will work together as a team, the two. Politics and religion will be merged in that end time. Yes. Yeah, that's clearly given to us in Revelation 13. The spiritual leader deceives the world into worshiping the political leader. You had another one, Conrad?
No.
Okay, then Fredo. And then Larry. Okay. The consummation or the end there, Alfredo, that determines simply means what God has determined to do to, and sometimes translations read the desolator. What God has determined to do to this man will happen. And the Bible says in Revelation 20, he'll be cast. Here's what it says. He's going to be cast alive when Jesus comes. He's not going to have a chance to die. Notice the false prophet and the beast. They're going to be cast alive, it says, in the lake of fire. God has determined to wreck this desolator. But he won't do it, Daniel 9:27 says, until he accomplishes his purposes and does the double crossing. So that determined does not have to do with what men have determined on Jerusalem, but what God has determined for the very men who desolated Jerusalem. And that'll be his judgment in the lake of fire alive. You'll get that further in Revelation chapter 20, as well as Revelation 19. Okay, Fredo? So that determined is what God has determined. The desolations on Jerusalem, verse 26, is what man has determined for God's chosen city. But God has something determined for them. Okay, Larry? Anyone else Larry said before he comments? Yes. Mm-hmm. Valerie? Oh, okay. Valerie's question was where we have Daniel's 70th week, and if you go up, you see seven seals and seven trumpets and so on. And then you see seven bowls. Is that during the 3.5 years? The problem with the chart is you can't get everything in the exact place it should be because you limited the space. During this 70th week, all three of these things happen. The seven sealed book is open, and within that seven sealed book is the trumpets that the angels announce judgments on the earth. And then more angels come with the bowls full of God's wrath. God always judges in stages. First there's the one-third judgments, and then he pours out the whole thing, but he gives men a chance to consider. And so then the seven bowls come. Now, you notice they're right above here. That is not meant to say dogmatically that they happen in the first week and some of these don't carry over it here. It's just there's no space. They do happen during those 7 years, and there's a little debate on that. Do they happen all in the first half? Do they carry over? It really doesn't matter a whole lot. I believe personally there's some overlap there, but the chart is unable to show that. But the beginning is connected with this first half. And the end of the bowls are connected with the seven half. But I believe correctly it will probably go like that. Okay? Yes. I'm getting old, you know. I wish we could, but this is all you're going to get from that or I'll never finish it. Maybe some other year. If the Lord hasn't come, and then you can get it from the greatest teacher. And you won't need to get it, you'll see it. Anybody else? Anybody else before Larry? Yes. Mm-hmm. Friendly.
I know
Okay. That's an honest question. She doesn't understand where we get the year from. Okay. We get it, first of all, from other places in the Bible. God has been pleased to use that language when we gave you back in Genesis when Laban told Jacob to fulfill her week. And you'll see there he had to work 7 years. It actually spells it out. Now, you get it from the literal word, it's sevens. A week has 7 days, 77s. But where year comes from, and this is the key thing to it all, is from the way that first little division he gave. Remember he said it shall be built in 7 weeks? Now that is your key to the prophecy. Nehemiah records that it did not take 7 weeks. Part of it was done in 50 some days, but if you read the whole book of Nehemiah and see when Jerusalem was back functioning again, you have, and it doesn't date it exactly, but you have a period of years, not a period of months or a period of weeks. And then, we're on the good end of it. If you take when the exact time from that prophecy to the appearance of Jesus Christ, it was not weeks or months, it was years. Right to the day, 483 years later. So fulfilled history has proven to us it is years. And then there's another clue for you. Go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, and here's how we really get it. Revelation chapter 13. And remember that Antichrist, that Roman prince, that beast we've been talking about? Well, God's going to, remember Christ says he's going to come into power at the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Well, Revelation 13 tells you how long he's going to have his power. Look at chapter 13 and puts it in language that we can understand. Revelation 13, and let's go down to verse 5. Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. You see that? What's 42 months? 3 1/2 years. 36 months and 3 years, the final 6 months. So other Bible prophecies clearly interpret it as years. 42 months is 3 1/2 years. So we get it from various sources like that. Yes, Eric.
When the building of the temple started on the which empire?
The Medo-Persian Empire.
There you have a little arrow coming out of the Babylon.
And so we do. it did start under the Medo-Persian Empire. It's in Nehemiah chapter 2. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm going to go back and talk to my artist. Yes.
Dave.
Oh, the two dates we added together, God took those 69 weeks and he divided them into 7 and 62. Now the 7 was connected with the building of Jerusalem, and then the remainder with the coming to the Messiah. So 7 times 7 is 49, and 62 times 7 is 434. You add 49 and 434, you get 483. And that brings you right to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Daisy? Yeah. Anybody else? Well, then that leaves us with Brother Larry. Yeah.
I don't want to jump ahead tonight, but I probably won't. There's a chance I might not be in here tonight.
Excuse me. Yes. It is very reasonable, a good assumption, to put these two things very close together, the rapture and the signing. But we had to be technical in our language,
right,
because something has to end it. Now, the church has never experienced one day of Daniel's 70th week, or 70 years, 490 years, excuse me. 70 weeks. The first 483 years were fulfilled by the time Jesus Christ died. So that when the church started, they were over. We never experienced the day. And we will not experience the day of the 70th because they are for Daniel's people. The church has nothing to do directly with those 70 weeks. Now, you notice what started it was not the rapture. But somehow we have to get removed in this dispensation. At least we have to be taken away before the judgment comes in that we're not appointed to. And we'll talk more about that later.
Not only is
Yes. The mystery age.
That was the whole yeah. Mystery age
is about the church. Yes. The church on earth has to end. We have to go to be with our Lord. It is the rapture that ends that the church on earth. Now, the question is, will it happen the same day as the other? Nobody knows. They are obviously very close. But remember, is it possible to not have a church and yet God to be doing some things with Israel for a few days? It did start out that way, you know. But there was no church between the ascension of Jesus Christ and Pentecost for how many days? 10 days. From the resurrection of Christ, you're right, 40. And from the ascension of Christ, 10 days. As so it is possible there could be a few days, a month or two, in between that. But I'll tell you the whole key that we'll get into a little later. The reason God doesn't date the rapture for you, it could happen any day. And He wants you to be ready. There's no date on the rapture. But in Bible prophecy, as Larry's bringing out, there's a very close link. Our brother Henry.
Not here during the first 483 years.
Nope.
It had nothing to do with Earth.
Nothing.
During the first 483 years of the world, God was building Israel on His Earth.
That's right.
So, the church will also have nothing to do with the last 7 years
no.
of the 490 years of Israel. It also will be absent, just like it
yeah.
never will be even
said. That's right. The church has a
And the other thing I want to say was that the reason the rapture cannot begin the 70th week of Israel, even though it is totally associated
yes.
with it, is that the church is totally distinct and separate from Israel.
Yes.
So what ends the church time here on earth has to pertain only to the church and can have nothing to do with God's dealing with Israel.
Well.
And so the rapture is strictly for the church, even though
and the church has a birthday and an exit from planet Earth. Yes, Silvio, and we might make yours the last one because of lunch. Oh. Will He take the Holy Spirit off the face of the earth when the rapture comes? I don't believe the Holy Spirit has ever been off the face of the earth, and I don't believe it'll be off the face of the earth as an existing person, but it will be off in its unique role as living in the church and sanctifying the world, in that sense, through the church. It will be off through the church, but because God is triune and fills heaven and earth, there'll still be His workings here, but in a different way. Just like the Old Testament, He was on the earth, He would come upon Moses or come upon Saul or David, but not come in Him in the same way He does you and I. So I don't like the term taken off the earth, but I do like the term He will not be dwelling on the earth through the church. Okay? But He still, as a triune God, will have work to do. But maybe we'll get into that a little later. Well, thank you for your interest, and you have wonderful things ahead of you if you're a believer, but you have a test. I don't mean the test tomorrow. I mean you're now in Satan's world, and you'll have tribulation and persecution to endure till He comes. So while there is a glorious future, there is a serious battle to contend for the truth and live for the Lord Jesus Christ even now. Will somebody close in prayer, please? And there is a test tomorrow.